Well, amen. That was good, wasn't it?
Amen.
I think the music department's in pretty good shape. Got these young kids coming up and singing and doing a great job. Thank you, young people, for singing. Thank the Lord for our youth department here and for all the things they do. We had had a fellow come up to me last Sunday and said, "So you're the pastor here?" I said, I always, you know, wait before I answer that question, but I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Well," said, "some teenagers knocked on my door and invited me to church, and that's why I'm here today. I just wanted you to know that." So thank the Lord for our teenagers. They go out visiting on Wednesday afternoons and, of course, participate in the music here in the church, and we thank God for it. All right, I got about 4 hours worth of sermon, and we got communion tonight, so I need to get going here. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. I was going to start reading in verse 28, but I'll just read my text verse. And when you get home, you can read the rest of it. This is Paul, as he is the Apostle Paul, and he is speaking to the people of Ephesus. And in verse 35, he makes this statement. He said, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." All right, now who said it's more blessed to give than to receive?
Jesus.
All right, I want to speak to you tonight a message that I'm going to entitle The Lost Beatitude. The Lost Beatitude. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the music tonight. What a blessing it's been. And Lord, thank you for our young people and for, Lord, their faithfulness to be a part of the church here. They don't just come and sit, but Lord, they're a part, an active part of what we're doing. And we thank you for that. And I just pray you'll bless now as we look at the Word of God. And Lord, just help us to see this little truth, this little principle that Paul reminded the church at Ephesus about, and words of our Savior. Lord, just bless, I pray, our look at the book tonight, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice in verse 35 that Paul says that the Lord Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And notice that the Apostle Paul also said that these words were words that were spoken by the Lord Jesus. Now, here's an interesting point. If you go back into the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you read, beginning in Matthew 1:1, reading all the way through the Gospel of John, you will not find these words recorded in any of the four Gospels. They are not there. Paul, when preaching to the people of Ephesus, said, though, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." You say, "Well, Pastor, if it's not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, then how did Paul know that Jesus spoke these words?" Well, can I remind you that when John was finishing his gospel, he said that if all the words that Jesus said and if all the miracles that Jesus performed, if everything that the man said and did was written in a book, there would not be volumes enough to contain all that Jesus said. There are a lot of things, I'm sure, that were said and done by the Lord that were not recorded in the Scripture. But notice here that it says that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I never will forget my mother used to say all these things to me all the time. And I remember one time years ago, she was trying to get me to give something that I had to my brother. And she said, "Now remember, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive." And boy, every time after that, she just kept saying that over and over and over. And I remember thinking to myself, "All right, you just want a blessing? Give me all you want to give me. That's fine. I'll take it." But this, the simple truth of the matter is, this is sometimes a difficult thing for us to grasp. that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. I mean, the truth of the matter is, all of us like to receive. We had a kid in our community when I was growing up in West Virginia, and he was one of my best friends, and we were always at his house. Tom Baker was his name, and his mother had a book on the coffee table that was a book of photographs from Norman Rockwell's front covers on the Saturday Evening Post. And we spent a lot of time watching ball games and sitting in their living room. And I remember looking at those paintings. I thought they were all, you know, amazing. And I remember sitting there leafing through that book. And some of you, when I describe this sketch that he did, you're going to remember it. It was the picture of a beautiful palatial home with wall-to-wall white carpet. And there was this huge living room that had a winding staircase that led up to the bedrooms, and you could see vaguely, if memory serves me correct, the bedroom doors. And standing on the stairs, almost at the last step, was this very elegantly dressed, queenly mother who obviously belonged in a home like that. And then Rockwell captured in her face the obvious conflict of emotion, for standing in front of her was her little boy with his dog standing on the beautiful white carpet. With the front door still open, you could see that it was raining outside, and the little boy was obviously coming home from school. And he and his dog took every opportunity to walk through every mud hole they could find. And they were standing in the middle of the carpet, in the middle of the living room on the carpet, with a little trail leading from the door to where they were standing. And here was the catch. This little guy had a homemade Valentine card in his hand that he was holding up to his elegant mother. His face was so full of life and expectation that she would be so happy to get his card that she would pardon the mess that he and the dog had made. And it was a typical Norman Rockwell drawing that effectively presented mixed emotions. And I think when we read a verse like what we've read for our text tonight in verse 35, and when we think of the words of the Lord Jesus, we might have mixed emotions. We know it must be true if the Lord Jesus said it, but it is not always easy to readily accept this idea as true. Now, as I said just a moment ago, you're not going to find this statement in any of the four Gospels. But yet, we know that these were the words of Christ, because Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus said these words. And it is obvious that the Christian community knew this beatitude, because the Apostle Paul begins by saying, remember. Remember that Jesus said this. So this was evidently one of the statements that the Christians were very familiar with that was spoken by the Lord Jesus. Now, let me just take show you this principle in the Scriptures, and then I will tie it together for you, and I'll be done on time tonight, Lord willing, and if the rapture doesn't happen. Point one, I want you to think about this principle as it is found in Scripture. Go back to the last part of the verse. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, there are multitudes of times in the Scriptures where you can see this principle on display for easy viewing. As these folks heard what Paul reminded them that Jesus said, I wonder how many of their minds went back to some of the familiar stories in the Bible where this picture could be seen. First of all, let me take you to the shores of Galilee, when early in our Lord's ministry, some 5,000 people were listening to the Lord Jesus by the sea. And as these folks stood and listened to the Lord Jesus, the minutes turned into hours, but yet it seemed like not a soul noticed. Everyone was so enthralled with the words of our Lord that they didn't even stop to realize that the day was almost gone. The Lord Jesus said that we need to send them home, but we must feed them before we send them home. The disciples looked around and said, "Well, we don't have enough to feed them. There's no way we can feed them. We don't have the means to do it." But the Lord Jesus remembered and knew that they needed nourishment, and so he spoke up again and said to the disciples, "We must feed these people." Now the disciples, I'm sure, looked at the Lord and said, "Lord, don't you know that it would take a small fortune to feed all these thousands of people? And besides, McDavid's does not have enough hamburgers in their freezers to feed all these people." That's in the Greek, by the way. And you should be so thankful that you have a pastor who can discern all these great things out of the original text. "Lord, how are we going to do this?" And it was about that time that Andrew, and by the way, Andrew is always seen every time in Scripture as bringing someone to Jesus. Andrew comes along and says, "Lord, I think I have a solution here." And he said, "I want to introduce you to this young boy. And Lord, we have nothing here to feed the people with except for this little boy's lunch. He has five little biscuits and two little fish. And Lord, this is not much. What is this among so many people?" And so the Lord Jesus asked the little boy for his lunch. And the little guy gladly handed it over to him. And he willingly gave it up for the master's use. And the Lord blessed it. And then he gave it to the disciples. And the disciples just kept reaching into the basket. As they reached and continued to gather out of the basket, there was plenty for everyone. 5,000 were adequately filled from the little lunch of the boy that was willing to give his lunch to the Lord. Now let me ask you, dear friend, who do you think of the two, the crowd and the little boy, who do you think was the most blessed here? Those who received from the hands of the Lord, or that little wide-eyed, astonished boy as he sat and watched, knowing what was in his little lunch basket as he watched what the Lord Jesus had done with his gift? The point is, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let me have you think about that rich young ruler that came to Christ one day. And the Bible says that he came seeking to justify himself. And the Lord Jesus invited him to get the world out of his heart. The Lord Jesus said, "Sir, why don't you take everything you have and sell it and give it to the poor, and you will know what it is to find the kingdom of heaven." And the Lord told him, "I want you, if you want the kingdom of heaven, I want you to get the world out of your heart." You see, the world will always separate a person from God. And the Lord told him if he would dispose of his wealth and follow him, he would have riches in heaven. But man, as you keep reading that story, it breaks your heart. For the Bible says that when he heard these words, he went away sad, for he had great wealth. And he wasn't willing to give anything away. He kept everything that he had, and he went away from the Lord Jesus with a sad and heavily burdened heart. Compare that rich man to another rich man. There's another rich man that the Lord Jesus ran into one day, a fellow by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a rich publican. He was a tax collector, worked for the Roman government. And when Zacchaeus got saved, he dedicated everything he had to the Lord. He even said to the Lord, Lord, if I have wronged anybody in this IRS job that I have, I will go back and restore them fourfold. Now, the question that I ask you tonight is of the first rich man that we read about and of Zacchaeus. Let me ask you, which of the two do you think was the most blessed? The rich young ruler who wouldn't give anything, or Zacchaeus who was more than willing to give everything he had to the Lord and even go back and fix any of the wrongs that he had done to people in the past? I'm saying, folks, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Think about that little widow that came to the temple and gave just 2 pennies. I mean, think about it. Here's all these rich people that come that had just come to the temple, and they're giving their large gifts. But their large gifts didn't even put a dent in their bank accounts. And then all of a sudden, here comes this little widow lady in, and she tosses in 2 little mites. Just about the equivalent of a half of a penny, and she takes those 2 mites and throws them into the treasury. You say, well, wonder why the Lord mentioned that. He mentioned it because he noticed her dedication. She was willing to give all that she had. The others were giving what amounted to a tip, like what you would leave at a restaurant. But this lady gave what amounted to a great sacrifice. The point is, folks, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let me have you think about one more example. I want you to think about Lucifer. I want you to think about the devil before the fall. I want you to think about the devil, Lucifer, in eternity past. The Bible said that he was the son of the morning. The Bible says that he was the shining one. The Bible says that he was the cherub to whom God committed all of creation. The archangel who was the chief steward of all that God had made. Because of his infinite beauty, because of his wisdom, because of his ability, because of his brilliance, his body decked with beautiful jewels, his being given by God the authority of heaven so that all the other angels were accountable to him, he became filled with pride. And in his pride one day, he stood up in heaven and proclaimed, he said, I will ascend to the throne of God. I will lift myself up. I will be like the Most High. You know what he's saying, folks? He's saying, I will take. And of course, you know the story. God said, oh no, you won't, big boy. And he was cast down to the earth. But now, wait a minute. Also in eternity past, there was another that was even higher than Lucifer. In eternity past, there was another who was even higher than Satan, the Prince of Glory, the bright and morning star, the Son of God himself. And here's the amazing thing. While the devil stood up and said, I will take, Jesus stood up one day and said, Father, I will give. And he left heaven and came to this earth, descended from the throne of glory, and gave up all the prerogatives of God and became a man made in the likeness of man. And he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, Paul said, For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So let me ask you, who received a greater blessing? Lucifer or the Lord Jesus? Right. Oh, the Lord Jesus, because it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. The one who gave or the one who took? Oh no, the one who gave got the biggest blessing. Jesus said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Hey, folks, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. All right, now, I want you to listen very carefully. I want you to think with me of the blessings that come with giving. Now, I want you to just put your suppose caps on. I want you to suppose with me for a little while, and then I'll be done. Suppose someone came up to you today and they asked you, "Hey, how you doing?" You say, "Oh, I'm great." "How was your week? How'd it go for you last week?" And you'd smile from ear to ear and say, "Oh, it went great. I had a great week." "You did?" "Oh, I did." "Well, tell me, what did you do last week?" And so with a big old smile on your face, you could answer them this way. You could say to them, "I had a wonderful week. On last Sunday, I taught a Sunday school class that had a dozen little 10-year-old boys in it. And man, we had ourselves a time. On Monday, I went to a basketball game and I watched Carroll Christian Schools put a whooping on Granite Baptist Schools. On Tuesday, I went to New York City and I helped Pastor Pete Montoro win some Argentinians to the Lord. And then on Wednesday, I was in Coimbatore, India, at the South India Baptist Bible College, teaching a class for Dr. Chirian. And then on Thursday, I went to Suzhou, China, and helped the college there and the seminary there put some indoor plumbing in their school building. And then I taught a Bible study in the evening, and we prayed for souls to be saved in China for about 2.5 hours. And then on Friday, I went down to Bolivia and I helped Todd and Tammy Comstock translate the scriptures into a tribal language. And then yesterday, I was over in Ballincollig, Ireland, with Pastor Craig Ledbetter and a bunch of his church folks and his teenagers. We all went down onto the streets of town, and we passed out brochures about the church and tried to win folks to Christ and invited everybody we could see to come to church today. Now, whoever asked you that question and just listened to how your week went is probably going to look at you like you're nuts. They're probably going to look at you and they're going to say, "Wait a minute, you went all the way around the world this week?" And you smile and say, "I sure did." And they will say to you, "How in the world could you do that?" And again, with a smile on your face, you could say, "Well, do you remember last week when Pastor Larry finished making the announcements? He said, 'All right, gentlemen, if you'll come forward, we'll receive our offering tonight.' And when the ushers came down, I took that little blue envelope that they gave me when I joined the church, and I wrote my tithe check out, and I put it in that little blue envelope, and with the joy of the Lord in my heart, I put that envelope in the offering plate." Your answer would be, "The reason that I could do that is because I tithed last week when we had the church service. And I am working all over the world, that tithe, working for the Lord Jesus to advance the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ." Hey, folks, look at me. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. If I could take all of you over to Suzhou, China, and let you look into the face of those students that are sacrificing everything they have to sit there, I'm telling you, there's not a one of you wouldn't come back and joyfully tithe with every fiber of your being. If I could take you down to Bolivia and let you see Todd and Tammy down there working for the Lord, trying to get those scriptures translated for those people so they can know the Word of God, it would change your attitude towards your tithe. If I could take you over to South India Baptist Bible College and let you see those hundreds of kids, they've got over 800 kids now in the school, I understand, and let you look into their faces and see the hungering and the thirsting for the Word of God, you'd never, ever miss giving your tithe to the work of the Lord. I'm saying it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Someone may ask, "Well, Pastor, how do you lay up treasures in heaven?" And the answer is by investing it in people who are going there. You invested in people who are going there. We invest in heaven by giving to those who will take it there for us. I mean, folks, think about it. In our 40-some year history here at the Church of the Open Door, you just think in that 40-year period of all of the people, I mean thousands that are already in heaven. They were won to Christ through our ministry here. They were won to Christ through a living cross, or won to Christ at a church service. They were won to Christ in the bus ministry. They were won to Christ out by somebody doing door-to-door soul winning. They were won to Christ through our soul winners out on the streets in Baltimore. I mean, just think of the thousands of people that are going to be in heaven because of the giving of the people of the Church the Open Door. I can see it now. One of these days you're going to be standing in heaven and some little child is going to walk up to you, or some mom or some dad is going to walk up to you, and they're going to shake your hand and say, "Thank you. I am here because of what you did. I am here because of what you gave at the Church of the Open Door." And then the Church of the Open Door supported the ministry that ended up leading me to Christ in my country. I am here because of you. You made it possible. You see, folks, God takes our gifts and God turns them into souls. I read a story several weeks ago, just been waiting on the opportunity to use it. I can use it here. A few years back, in a church down south, after a revival meeting, they had a council meeting, and all of the men were sitting around and they were discussing the revival and how they didn't see the fruit that they were hoping to see. And one of them said, "You know, we only had one person saved, and that was just a little kid. We just had one soul saved in our whole week of revival meeting." And then another one looked down into the financial report and noticed that the church had given the evangelist a rather large love offering for coming and preaching the week. And they began to say that it seemed like such a waste to use all that money and only have one little boy get saved. Soon another one agreed, and then another one chimed in, and pretty much after a few minutes, everybody thought it was a waste of church money that only one little boy got saved. And about that time, a man stood up, and he said, "Gentlemen, if you think it too much, I personally will return to every one of you what you put in the offering for the evangelist. For you see, that little boy was my little boy." Amen. How do you put into dollars and cents what God does with our gifts when He turns our gifts into souls? I'm saying it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Let's pray together.